Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kabit Akhbay. Turkey's Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan is tackling the biggest challenge of his rule from what he describes as a foreign-backed conspiracy to undermine him and create a state within a state. In reference to a series of anti-corruption raids and the detention of senior businessmen close to Erdogan, as well as sons of three cabinet ministers. What has led to Erdogan's declining popularity? Will he and his party be able to win back public support before the elections next year? Well, in this debate, we'll discuss what has gone so wrong for Turkey under AK Party's rule, including his foreign policy mistakes, and whether what is happening to Erdogan is the result of an evil probe or foreign plot.
A major political tug of war is underway in Turkey between the administration of Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan and his political opponents. On Friday, Turkish prosecutors charged eight people with corruption and fraud as part of a major investigation. They're among dozens of other influential people close to Erdogan who were detained in a series of raids. The sons of three ministers and several top business leaders were among those cut. Erdogan has denounced the inquiry as a dirty operation against his government. The government retaliated by dismissing Istanbul police chief and several other top officers. The arrests and the dismissals reflect a bitter conflict within Turkey's ruling AK Party between those who support Erdogan and backers of Fethullah Gulen, a scholar living in self-imposed exile in the U.S. Members of Gulen's movement are set to hold top posts in the police, the judiciary, and the AK Party. Back in May, a government crackdown on a protest movement to stop the redevelopment of Istanbul's Taksim Square and Gezi Park turning to mass anti-government protests. The demonstrations rocked Erdogan's government, triggering widespread calls for his resignation. Rights groups complained that the authorities committed gross human rights abuses on a massive scale while trying to quell the protests. Even before the demonstration, the popularity of the Turkish government had suffered greatly due to its policies toward the war in neighboring Syria. Ankara was on the front line of fueling insurgency there, and Turks were angered by the spillover of violence into provinces neighboring Syria. Moreover, the Syrian government has gained the upper hand against insurgents, despite Ankara's insistence that President Assad will have to go. Ankara's policies have also upset another neighbor, Iraq. A planned oil import deal with the semi-autonomous Kurdistan region without Baghdad's consent and harboring Iraq's fugitive vice president charged with terrorism have already infuriated Baghdad. Ankara now seems to be in tough times. Many say sooner or later it will have to face the realities both at home and in the region and avoid further miscalculated policies.
You're watching The Debate. Let me introduce our guests for this edition. Associate Editor at the Hurriyet Daily News, Farjin Yinanj, joins us from Istanbul. And from the Executive Intelligence Review, William Jones joins us from Washington. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me start with you first, Farjin Yinanj. Let's look at the raids and the dismissals that have taken place. We have 14 additional senior officers removed over a series of these anti-corruption raids. You have the detention of senior businessmen who are close to Erdogan, as well as the sons of three cabinet ministers. The powerful Istanbul chief sacked following the dismissal of dozens of unit chiefs. Quantities of cash found at the homes at some of those raids, including one of the bank CEOs. We found out from a correspondent $5 million was found. What is going on there in terms of these raids to all of a sudden, it appears, to come up?
Well, basically, there's a power struggle going on between the government and the Fethullah Gulen movement. We knew that there was a contention and disagreement between the government and the followers of Gulenists for some time. This is not something that has just popped up newly. We knew that the two had started to have diverging policies because in the past the government has joined hands with the Fethullah Gulen movement in order to weaken what for them was the common enemy, which is the old Kemalist older system, the staunchly secularist Kemalist military judiciary system. Once this system, once the military and the old judicial elites have been weakened, the two started to show their differences, and now it's a matter of who will have a more weight on certain policy decisions. Now, the Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan, since he has gotten 50% of the votes during the last elections, and this is the third time he is being elected and by increasing votes, it seems that he no longer needs sort of the support of the followers of Gulenist, and therefore it looks like the followers of the Gulen movement are sort of striking back in order to show their power, that they are trying to say that they have a say and that they should be taken into consideration.
I'd like to find out more, William Jones, of what Tayyip Erdogan means when he says what is happening to him is the result of an evil probe, or he said foreign plot. I mean, what does he mean by that?
Well, I guess it's based partially on the fact that Mr. Gulen has his operations here in the United States in Pennsylvania and can operate freely, and maybe has contacts with U.S. Forces who want to do Mr. Erdogan harm. In one sense, I think Mr. Erdogan has, over the past few years, shot himself in the foot by a very fluctuating policy with regard to the what was going on in Syria. And the reaction of that, of course, had economic consequences for Turkey, undermining the very strong position that Turkey held in the region several years ago. In addition, the refugees who have been coming from the Syrian battlefront are becoming a burden on Turkey, and the government is trying to keep control of that. There's opposition from the people in the country, naturally, because their conditions are getting worse, and he has decided to crack down on them. So there's a lot of opposition going on. It's a period of turmoil, and I think Mr. Gulen is utilizing this turmoil for his advantage.
Well, what we're looking at, Barjin Yunans, in terms of some of the ways this has been covered there in Turkey and some of the dailies there, it says people are asking if this is the result of an evil probe or foreign plot, as Erdogan has said, then why are all these police chiefs being sacked? I'm going to ask that question from you.
Well, if I understood the question properly, why the police chief are sacked is because they are believed to be by the government to be the followers of Fethullah Gulen movement, and what happened is that some of the security personnel in the security department, they were unaware that there was such an investigation going on. Our understanding is that this investigation had been started a year ago, so and it has been conducted under utmost secrecy, and that top level police officers were not aware that such an investigation was going on. So the government is showing a sort of a reaction to that fact, and they are sort of in a way, quote unquote, punishing those officers. Obviously they're also believed to be, you know, sympathizers of the movement, and that's one of the reasons why they have been also on the list. So this is a result of the sort of a, you know, the government striking back. But legally, when you look at the procedures, mid-level police officers, they don't have to inform their superiors once they are in touch and asked by the prosecutors. So in a way, the government does not have the legitimate legal reason to take them out of their jobs, but it is taking place.
Well, let's find out the fallout that this is going to have for Erdogan, William Jones. I mean, as we speak, there are plenty of protests that are speculated to being planned, that are going to take place over the weekend in Turkey. We know that Erdogan this year is just not his year, is it? I mean, we could look at a range of issues. Tell us what consequence that is going to have for Erdogan, especially given the fact that elections are going to be coming up next year.
Well, I think it's determined to some extent on how Erdogan deals with the situation. Like I said, there was vacillation with regard to the Syrian operations. He was under a lot of pressure, I believe, from the West in the beginning to try and give support to the opposition movement, so-called, in Syria to overthrow Assad. That was not going to work. It wasn't going to happen. Then Turkey, concerned about its own interests, backed off of that, and has now, in the last few weeks, been working together to try and create something out of this the Geneva meetings that are being held around the Syria operation. The other fact you have to look at is the fight within the region, in which the Saudis and Qatar and some of the other countries are utilizing the Syria situation to not only undermine Assad, but also to undermine the role of Iran in the region. And I think that could very well play a factor in this because of the Islamist connections of the Hizmet movement, that Mr. Erdogan no longer is seen as much of an ally for these groups who do want this radical change in the region, and maybe they're going after him. But I think it's largely going to depend on how he deals with this situation. If he tries to crack down even further, you probably have something similar to what we've seen in Ukraine with growing mass discontent, and therefore his chances for re-elections are going to be pretty dim. But he may turn the corner. He's shown himself to be very versatile in these situations, and he may work his way out of this nevertheless.
Well, Barjin Inanç, it's very interesting when we want to take a look at Erdogan's report card. I picked out the statement that was cited that he had said once that democracy for us is never a goal. It could only be a vessel, which really doesn't go with the image that Erdogan perhaps portrays. But I'm asking you, is Erdogan rigid in his policies? We know that there have been issues regarding a crackdown on women, for example, in terms of their position. And also, for example, on journalists, given that you're a journalist, I assume, in the media world, working for Hurriyet Daily. Is Erdogan very rigid? What criticisms do you have or do you see on Erdogan and the way he's executed himself within Turkey?
Well, the Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan has certainly shown signs of authoritarianism. Certainly, the Turkish Prime Minister who came during the first time in the elections in the first half of the 2000s is not the same Erdogan that we see today. Most probably he has gained a tremendous self-confidence, and therefore some people who believe that he had some secret agenda, that he was never a true Democrat, they feel vindicated. He certainly shows a one-man rule type of style. Our understanding is that people around him, even his close associates, are not able to communicate very openly with him. And therefore, one of the reasons why this contention with the Gulen movement has come up is that Prime Minister has no appetite to share his rule. He has no appetite for any pressure group to tell him what to do in certain policy decisions. There are a lot of women in Turkey who are feeling very reactionary towards the Turkish Prime Minister, because the problem is not that he is sort of proposing to women to have three children. Every country might have some population problems, but while doing that, he doesn't come up with solutions that will keep women in the employment sector. And also during his governance, women in the government, there are very few women in the government that are taking higher positions. And again, it's also a fact that during Erdogan's rule, there has been a lot of pressure on newspaper owners. There has been some tax investigations, etc. It's no secret that there is important pressure upon the press as far as reporting on government issues are concerned. For instance, for the past years, we have not seen much of corruption stories in the press. Most probably there were some corruption dossiers, but the press was not able to talk about it for fear of reaction coming from the government.
And based on this, William Jones, I don't see a bright future for Erdogan in terms of the events that have now spiraled with these corruption arrests that have been made. What can Erdogan do? I mean, is he left with, we hear that he may actually go with a cabinet reshuffle, maybe perhaps speed up the parliamentary elections. Are those the only two options that you foresee, perhaps, as Erdogan choosing to do?
Well, I think he will make an attempt to sacrifice some of his own people to try and create a new image here. It may have gone so far at this point that that he's not going to be able to make any gains here. There is, of course, within the AKP opposition to Erdogan. Some of it is not so so visible, but there are other people who are jockeying for positions, and they see that he's become a weak candidate. So I think he'll have a lot of fighting, infighting going on in there. But it really is a reflection of the turmoil in the region, and Mr. Erdogan has tried to play his own cards in such a way that he's done one thing one day and another thing the next day, and people no longer trust what he's doing. And like I said, if he takes the route that he's more inclined to do, to crack down on this opposition, I think that opposition will grow into a force which he's not going to be able to withstand.
Well, let's break this down, if you can, for us, Barjin Yunanj, regarding Gulen, if I'm pronouncing it properly, Hizmet, as it said, or service, to have been increasingly at odds, obviously, with Erdogan. Obviously, they are going to try to take advantage of the situation. Erdogan, interestingly, said that aside from the fact that there are foreign-backed conspiracy to undermine him, he said that their aim is to create a state within a state. Usually that's talked about the Turkish army, isn't it? Are we to see now perhaps a union there between the army and this Gulen Hizmet movement to corner Erdogan? Gulen?
That is absolutely out of question, because actually there have been a lot of probes and investigations against army officials, and these investigations were actually conducted by prosecutors and security officers which were known to be very close to the Gulen movement. And in fact, at certain stage, even the Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan was showing his resentment that the some of the press prosecutors went too far by even claiming that the former General Chief of Staff was heading a terrorist organizations. So actually the divergence of view at one stage had appeared that the Gulen movement had gone too forcefully, too strongly to weaken the army. So I do not see any possible collaboration right at this stage. The army is absolutely out of the Turkish political system, and at any rate they are the Hizmet movement and the army is former foes, because late 1980s and mid 1990s, actually, it was the army who has triggered a purge against the followers of Gulen movement. And in fact, it was because of the pressure of the army that the head of the movement, Fethullah Gulen, had to seek refuge in United States.
And Bill Jones, how do you see Turkey then in the future? We saw what happened during the summer regarding the Gezi Park protests, which we still do see protests happening. And some were calling this, as far as it's going, to be a Turkish spring. Are we looking at this country being divided in any sense and experiencing something to that effect? Or are we just looking at elections taking place? And of course, your take on what the future AK Party is going to be looking like if they're going to stay in power?
Well, obviously, there are great divisions within Turkish society.
Go ahead, Bill Jones.
Obviously, there are divisions within Turkish society. There are divisions in Turkish society, and they are playing out as we speak. There is a resistance to moving in the direction of creating some kind of Islamist state that Mr. Erdogan seemed to be working towards. You do have still the commitment to this sort of secularist identity that has been characteristic for Turkey ever since its founding. Those things are going to be in play. I think the military, I agree with the other speaker, that the military probably at the moment is out of play, although I think if there are other forces moving in that direction, or if Mr. Erdogan or anybody else wanted to lean in the direction of bringing in these groupings in a broader coalition to give him support, they would then again be playing a role. But Turkey has lost significantly that unique position that it had in the region, really as this secularist state. And it could devolve into something much worse. It's so much turmoil in the region at this point that nobody can really predict what's going to happen. But if the conflicts continue, if the Syria conflict continues, if you have more trouble erupting like in Iraq with a lot of the terrorism, this is always going to overflow into Turkey and will create a situation of practical ungovernability. But I don't think that's inevitable. I think it looks very murky at this point. And it's only by some of the forces that I indicated coming together to try and reestablish some form of Turkish identity that we will, you know, have any hope of Turkey playing again something of the role that it had played several years ago.
Very well, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. Let me thank our guest, Associate Editor of the Hurriyet Daily News, Barjin Yunanc from Istanbul, spoke to us. And you were just listening to William Jones from the Executive Intelligence Review, spoke to us from Washington. And that does it for this edition of The Debate. Any questions or comments, newsroom@pestv.ir is our email address. From Mikhail Takvay and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.